So good to see everybody here this morning. Hope that you've already been worshiping this morning our Lord and Savior who was born to us in Bethlehem so many years ago. Take me a minute to get to my place here. I want to continue this morning with our series, His Name Shall Be Called. One of the last lines of the song that we just sang says, "Let my soul be filled with wonder as I journey in my heart back to Bethlehem." I hope your heart is filled with wonder as you think about that babe lying in a manger in Bethlehem. As you think about him lying there, I hope you remember the words of Isaiah that we've looked at for the last few weeks. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, where it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Over the last several weeks, we discovered that Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. Amen? Amen. He is the Mighty God. Today, I want us just for a few minutes to consider that Jesus is also the Everlasting Father. Few words in any language evoke the kind of feelings that we have when we hear the word Father. Some of us will feel a sense of loss this Christmas season, either because we had fathers who were wonderful but are no longer with us, or because we had unfulfilled longings for the kind of father that we never had. How comforting then is it for us to read of the birth of a child whose name shall be called Everlasting Father. Under his care, his protection, and his provision, we are safe and will be satisfied for all eternity. Of all the titles that are given to Jesus, this one probably gets the most questions. We don't often think of Jesus as Father, since this is it's the usual way that we view the first person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the question then is this: how can Jesus, the Messiah, the second person of the Godhead, be called Everlasting Father? Well, one pastor noted that the term Father is not used here in a Trinitarian sense, as if it's depicting relationships that happen within the Godhead. The prophet Isaiah is not saying that the Son is also the Father. The first thing we want to make mention of is this, that Isaiah is not confusing Jesus the Messiah with God the Father. This one pastor went on to say that the word Father is a descriptive analogy pointing to Christ's character. So what does a father do? What image is evoked by the word Father? Can I just suggest to you this morning that I think he may have had in mind the tenderness and the sensitivity of a compassionate and affectionate father. In fact, if you look into Jesus' life as he ministered here on the earth, like in Luke chapter 13, as he approaches Jerusalem, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." The compassion of a father gathering children under his safety providing wings. There's also the security and the love that this everlasting father provides, as well as protection and provision. Jesus is fatherly and father-like in his treatment toward us. This is similar to what the psalmist had in mind when he said in Psalm 103:13, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." So Isaiah is not confusing Jesus the Messiah with God the Father. Isaiah is highlighting the divine nature of the Messiah. More than any other author, Isaiah loves to talk about eternity. He speaks of God as the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And here in verse 6 of chapter 9, he uses that same type of language to refer to the Messiah. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty, as John writes in Revelation 1:8. Isaiah is speaking of a child who will be born some 700 years in the future, yet he makes clear that this child is the author of eternity. In other words, you could read this as he is the father of eternity, the father of past, present, and future eternity. Jesus, then, the Messiah, is the only one who can reveal God's fatherly character to us. He's the only one who can reveal who God is. Jesus often used words like son and daughter when he was addressing others affectionately. In Matthew 9:2, he says this, "And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed." You might remember this story. "And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.'" Also in Mark chapter 5, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Son, daughter, as Jesus is speaking compassionately to those who needed to be healed and needed to have their sins forgiven. And might I suggest that he comes to us in the same manner. Son, daughter, go in peace. I can forgive your sins and I can make you right with my heavenly Father. John 10:30, Jesus says this, "I and the Father are one." If there's anybody that's going to show us what God the Father is like, it is Jesus. In fact, Jesus tells Philip in John 14, Jesus says to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? We get a accurate depiction of what God is like, his character, his love, his compassion, when we look to Jesus. In fact, if you want to know what God is like, then look at Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, then look at Jesus. Jesus is the perfect image of God and the exact representation of his being. Jesus alone makes the Father known to us. Indeed, Jesus also says in John 14 that no one can come to the Father except through me. One theologian observed that Jesus takes away our guilt and again opens the way to God's fatherly heart. Everything you've ever dreamed a father could be, everything you've ever wanted from your relationship with your earthly father, Jesus is and will be for you. He will forever be perfectly fatherlike in the way he shepherds and leads you. In Jesus, you have a perfect Father forever. Jesus, the everlasting Father, came down at Christmas into a broken and sinful world to fill our hearts with heaven's love, to teach us how to love one another, and to show us the heart of the Father. He came to make sons and daughters out of his enemies. This is the Father's gift to us at Christmas. Jesus is the everlasting Father. How comforting it is to read, "His name shall be called Everlasting Father." Think about this. Once we become a child of Christ, we are his and he is ours forever. Forever. There'll be no goodbyes with him. Nothing in all creation, as it says in Romans, will be able to separate us from his love. Not even death itself. Indeed, death only brings us closer to him. Charles Spurgeon said this, "There is no unfathering Christ, and there is no unchilding us. He is everlastingly a father to those who trust him." So as we take a trip back to Bethlehem, as we journey in our heart there and we see the Christ child lying in a manger, remember that Jesus is the wonderful counselor, that Jesus is the mighty God, and that Jesus is our everlasting Father. Praise God for his eternal security in Christ. We are eternally secure because we have an eternal Father in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the everlasting Father. want to ask you this morning, as we think about who Christ is, I also want you to remember that he is our Savior. That Jesus came not just to be a babe that we can sing about on Christmas, but Jesus came, he lived, he died in your place on the cross. That through faith in him, you can be made right with God. And thanks be to God, he didn't stay in the ground. He rose the third day. He is a living Savior, and he calls to you even now. Even as you celebrate Christmas, he's calling to you, saying, come to me. I have compassion for you as your everlasting Father. Would you come to me? Would you trust in me? Would you place your faith in what I did for you on Calvary? That's the call for each one of us today. Have you trusted Jesus? Are you eternally secure in Christ? If so, then you can praise God today. And if not, we want to invite you to come and place your faith in Jesus today. Remember, Jesus is the everlasting Father. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us today. God, I ask, Lord, that in the minutes ahead as we, Lord, as we allow you to work in our hearts, so we've heard from your word today. God, I don't know the struggles that many might be going through in this moment. But God, I know that you are a wonderful counselor and a mighty God and an everlasting Father. So God, would you work in our lives this morning? God, would you speak to our hearts? Would you encourage us where we're discouraged? God, would you wrap your arms around us like a loving Heavenly Father, loving everlasting Father? Would you help us know that we're safe and secure in you? God, for those who may be here this morning and they've never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray today that they would make a step of faith. Your word says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, we trust your word and we trust your promise that if we cry out to you in faith, that you will save us. So God, I pray for those who have not made that decision yet, God, that today would be the day. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son to die for us on the cross. Thank you that he rose again in victory and that we can live victoriously through him. God, again, we want to say that we love you. We thank you, God, for all these things. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen and amen.